Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Even our Falcons are getting in on defending our star and Trae Young. They have just put out a post at Atlanta Falcons on social media, on Twitter. I just reposted it. It put them up. See Dukes in Will Smith's voice as they say, keep my Trae Young out of your mouth. And then they put together a nice little video of Pat Bev running his mouth talking about, I don't even think you can tweet at me like this. It's great. And it just goes to show you that the clown in this ultimately is going to be Pat Bev. He's going to be made out to be the clown when he tried to make this about his career, Mike, and how much better it's been. And Trae Young, you ain't won enough, and you ain't done this, that, and the other. And now everybody's just like, what a clown show.
You know what? Tell my family, don't expect to see me in June.
Before you speak, they would tell me, Pat, man, that ain't the Atlanta Hawks. That's called the Trae Hawks.
Mm. Yeah, man, I won't be home in June. Yeah, the one time the season started in December, that's the only time your ass ever played in June. It's crazy.
Obviously, but I've been on teams who won 50 games.
Yeah. You lost to that soft Phoenix-ass Suns team that the Bucks beat.
Yeah, he did.
That we could have played.
That's right. He sure did.
I don't know what April and early May in Atlanta feels like.
This is delightful.
This is what you call an over-exaggeration of your career. This is what you call what I think I did and then what really happened. What really happened is you've been a bit player on a bunch of good teams. What you think happened is you carried teams, Mike, deep in the playoffs, and you were the guy and the main reason that they got there. That's not reality. And so for you to start talking about what Trae is and what he isn't, it's just been a fun debate on the show today. And as we said, look, Trae's our guy. I think Pat Bev was out of line for this because, again, it was a no-nonsense, like a throwaway comment about relax, about guys playing hard at the All-Star game. And I think Trae responded with, relax, let us speak for ourselves. He took that as a personal shot. And then he wanted to, you know, compare careers.
I mean, it's like a giant nothing burger that got this squabble like up to like 11 all of a sudden, right?
I agree. I totally agree. All right, if you haven't heard some of it, we'll play Trae's response coming up as we will get into that a little bit later on. Also, Falcon Report, guys, we have to talk about some of the and I know some of you are going to go like, Dukes and Bell, we don't want this. But some of the national hype is getting there. We're going to week three. If we go handle business against Carolina and this defense shows up, they won't score 20 points.
Right.
It's going to continue to grow.
You want to be under the radar, or do you want to, like, again, not that it matters, but somebody be like, they look online, hey, we're 15 in the power rankings. I don't even know what that even means.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just for a couple of nerds in ESPN put that together. People love that stuff.
You know, Mike, that's a really good question, though. But haven't we been under the radar for 7 years?
Well, when you don't make the playoffs and you got Marcus Mariota and Desmond Ridder, you don't deserve to be anywhere. Now we feel we've turned a corner. Look, this team was a playoff caliber team last year with a defense which we think is now better.
Yes.
But there is going to be, I think, some growing pains with Michael Penix Jr. I don't think, you know, you can sit there and say, look, a team that's only had one throwing touchdown in two games is some kind of offensive, you know, juggernaut. But we do have, to your point, Bijan Robinson. That's why Zach's going to have to come up with a little bit of plan B as our receiver core finally gets healthy. I don't know what their status truly is, but I don't think Mooney and certainly Drake London are where they, you know, where we thought they would be, you know, going into week three. But you still love our chances to go cover, and you think we're going to put a number up there in Carolina.
I do, because we have not yet, and this sounds simplistic, but we haven't played our best offensive game. Like, we hadn't even come close. And I don't know if it happens Sunday. I kind of hope it doesn't. I just want to see I want to see some explosiveness that we haven't seen. We've moved the ball. We've been in scoring position. We know our struggles, Mike, in the red zone. But that's what I feel like we have the potential to do. And after watching the Arizona game last week, I know we can do what they did. Now, the difference is Kyler Murray scrambled for like 50 yards on one damn play, but that's what he does. Michael's not – he's not looking to run like that. Kyler Murray's just going to run around. But offensively, if you go back and watch that game, Arizona was just throwing the ball, Mike. They were moving the ball because these guys were playing like – they were playing cover three. And Kyler Murray was just, you're going to give me that underneath, and they're getting down the field. We can do the same thing.
Right. Now, how much – and Dave Archer was on the show Tuesday. All the interviews were on Odyssey.com. But Arch was talking about – and something we talked about with Coach, and Zach addressed it yesterday. We played some of that audio about the play action. And I want to see more of it. I'd rather see Michael Penix under center. And as his career evolves, less shotgun, more under center. Because I think when you run the ball like that, you're going to be able to suck and draw in the defense and get what you want. But Arch talked about it. They're basically trying to keep away from the deep ball. So that means we can run it all day. That's why I asked Coach Raw yesterday, because I said, why don't we just run it the whole first drive and not even try to throw it?
15 run plays. Who cares?
If they're doing too high safety, rock and roll.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I don't. If we punch it in four times, you wouldn't care if we ran it 15 times down the field in the first or second drive. 404-726-0929. That's where I'm at. And look, I know, by the way, you said this. And when we were up at the Taj Mahooters.
Right.
Right. And all our folks come out there, and we call him Little Cam because he looks like a miniature version of Cam Newton. He brings his son up there. His son's a little quarterback. We wish him nothing but the best.
We didn't call defects on the guy. We don't take his kid away from him, but it's bad parenting.
No. But he's got his kid in a Cam Newton jersey and all this stuff, and he's a big Carolina fan. We have heard zero from him after Carolina has gone 0-2. We've heard nothing from him.
Right. And, look, I wanted some action on the bet. Nobody wanted to take it. I'm like, $100. $100! Remember his voice went up?
Egregious.
His voice went all the way up. And it was funny. I had a guy yesterday. It was funny because we were talking about it. And guy hit us on the text. I didn't get a chance to mention it on the air, but on the text line, who's from Charlotte. And he took issue with me saying that Charlotte has no vibe.
Well, explain.
Because it doesn't. Charlotte is a vibeless town. It's a nice place to live, much like we've got all sorts of cool neighborhoods. Their neighborhoods are evolving.
I agree.
There was that kind of, remember last year when was it 2 years ago? The Stones were on tour. It was a picture of Mick Jagger, like in some cool little, like a dive bar in their version, like Fourth Ward. Yeah, it's cool, but when you go to a Carolina game, there's just no juice. It's like sometimes when you go to a Braves game and you go, come on, Blue! And everybody turns around, why are you shouting? What? Come on with some energy, man. I mean, football games are about juice.
Yeah.
And I've just never, ever, save for maybe one season in 2010, when Cam Newton was, or 20, I guess it was 2014, when Cam Newton was on fire, it's not a city that just embraces it the way we do. That's my vibe on that.
Yeah. Look, I would say we've been to Charlotte, love visiting.
And the people are friendly, don't get
great,
me wrong.
Yes, great time.
But there's just no juice.
There's no culture. That's what it's missing. There's no it's not like Atlanta. Right. There's no culture. That's what it's missing. And that's not to say it's a bad city. I agree with you. Great golf. It's the banking. The banking industry is big there. We know all of this. But the feel of the city, that's when people come to Atlanta and like, man, it's different. It feels different. And that's why I don't even make the comparison. But I don't think it's going to be rocking Sunday. I may be wrong. I don't think it's going to be rocking. Everybody thinks like it's going to be 70,000 people going, yeah, we're 0-2. Let's go. That's not Carolina.
I don't know. It just every time I see the crowd at a Panthers game, it feels like I'm watching a PGA event.
Well, they do have a good one there. They do have.
I mean,
it's
like everybody's just come over from Quail Hollow.
Exactly. Exactly.
I'm just saying. Because I joked around, I think, a couple of years ago. We said, Charlotte, that's like Birmingham with tall buildings. Well, that's if their soccer team was coming after us.
Oh, that's right. That's right. All right, man. Just wanted to mention that to all our people who know Lil' Cam. You guys know who he is. He's missing in action. Hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell. We got to talk some dogs. They are off this week. Next week, we will tell you ahead of time. Mike and I are headed to Athens on Friday. We're going to do the show from Grindhouse. It's going to be a blast.
And Barbara Dooley, guys, next week back on the show. And maybe we'll get her in person. We'll find out. We're working on that. But, yeah, she's got the bye week off. That's why we don't have Barbara today.
It's going to be, obviously, Alabama. They get a week off as well. So both teams get a chance to prepare, Mike. Who's going to be more prepared? Because that's where we're at right now. I know who I believe in. Do you believe in Kalen DeBoer and a week off for Alabama, or do you believe in Kirby Smart getting his guys ready with the week to prepare?
Well, I mean, you still got – you look, if you're an Alabama fan, you look at Georgia and the explosive plays Tennessee got in the passing game, and I think you'd say, okay, I feel that, you know, Ryan Williams can have those plays against Georgia.
He's a stud.
You know, you think about what a super freshman he is, and again, I don't know what they – how they couldn't get it to him against Florida State, I still don't understand that game plan. And I thought FSU did a really good job in zone. They were basically a nickel that whole game. And occasionally blitzing, but basically only going with three down linemen. Mm-hmm. That's how they tried it. And I don't know if Georgia's going to do that, but we'll see. But I mean, but that's still a weapon. And it's in Athens. I just love Georgia in this game, and especially Georgia's going to be feeling 10 feet tall after that win in Knoxville.
They are. And look, we'll dive in next week. We're going to have a couple of special guests to join us on site as well next week. We're just giving you a heads up. But that's going to be a lot of fun as Alabama and Georgia play in Athens. The thing for me is the lack of pressure that Georgia has been able to get with their four down linemen. And it's one of the reasons why Aguilar had such a big day. And, Mike, now if I have to bring blitz packages, right, obviously you're matching up man-to-man. I do not want to defend Ryan Williams man-to-man. He's a pro,
right.
Okay? I know he's 18 or 19. He's a pro. This kid's going to be in the NFL. He'll be a first-round pick. But now you're picking your poison. The key to Georgia has always been, Mike, I don't have to do all that. We're so good up front, we can just bring our guys and they can contain the quarterback. They haven't done that in these first few games. Especially they didn't do it in the games that we felt like they weren't showing us anything. Then you get against Tennessee and they got these big explosive plays. Mm. You're not getting any pressure off the edge. What is going on there?
And something that you know, David Pollack even addressed, talking about on one of the podcasts he was doing, saying that, yeah, man, it's like put the Georgia a pass rush on a milk carton. So that's something that Kirby's going to have to dial up. And now, is it going to evolve the way we talked with Ra about how our defensive line is evolving?
Sure.
But that was a scary proposition. There was no pass rush.
No. Do they have a legitimate star on this front seven?
We were told, and one of the things we'll talk about with Mike Griffith coming up at 5:20, Dog fans, get his take on. We'll ask Mike about that. Because we were told, and you know, maybe the secondary was a bit further down the road than the front seven. But there's still, like Cole, is he the best defense? Is he the most explosive guy with the most upside?
Yeah, see, that's really, if you're going to say why I have a doubt, if I have one, that would be it after the Tennessee game.
And talking about Chris Cole. For
correct. And this is why, you know, these games, there are certain plays that stand out because you go, all right, how do they try to do that to us and how are we going to defend it? But I don't expect that kind of explosiveness out of Alabama. Do they have that potential? Yeah. But I just, Mike, if you're telling me they're going to go into Athens and we're going to see another game like we just saw in Knoxville where it's 45-44.
Dial the score.
Yeah. I'd be shocked. Hey, here's a real cool story. And I think this speaks to Kirby and his staff getting the guys right. The portal's paying dividends, guys. Kobe Young, pretty good so far. Mm-hmm. 4 receptions, 73 yards. Zachariah Branch, 69 yards and a touchdown. London Humphreys, game-tying touchdown catch. That catch was silly. That's the over-the-shoulder throw, of course, from Gunner. And Humphreys is like, I got this. That was incredible. Josh McCray has two touchdowns, including a game winner. These are all portal guys. They're all paying dividends. So when we talk about going and getting in the portal, this is the thing. You still got to get the right guys.
And maybe, you know, moving forward, you know, do they need to focus a little bit more on the edge rush? Think about, like, how, you know, Georgia Tech brought some pieces on defense. You know, we talked to Brent Key about that, you know, last week after the big win. But that's the thing that, you know, David Pollack's talking about. I saw something he thinks is a big concern after the Alabama game. Who can rush the passer? To your point, look, Kirby's going to come up with something. How aggressive, though, do you want to be in blitzing? Which, Alabama still has a ton of weapons. As weird as this season has started for Kalen DeBoer, or the first 14 games have been,
yeah,
they can still hurt you.
Okay, so here's the thing, though. And again, what are we, like, 10 days away now? I mean, Georgia showed me and you and everybody that if they want to stuff it down their throat like Florida State did with the run, they can. And now that becomes a problem for Alabama. Because guess what? They're going to be tested. Georgia's a team that can, I think, Mike, can even do it better than Florida State.
Right.
Because of the size of the running backs. These backs are solid, man. These backs are like 6'6 foot, 215, 220. They're big boys. Like, they're running with force downhill. I think that may be an issue that causes problems for Alabama. And you're going to say, well, Florida State game was a fluke. Well, we're about to find out. Because you know they're watching that tape going, wait a minute, Florida State was able to do this to these guys?
All four sacks from Georgia so far this season have come from the inside linebacker position. Raylan Wilson, CJ Allen each have a sack. And I mentioned Chris Cole to start the conversation has two. But Cole isn't just an inside linebacker. Connor Riley points out in Dog Nation. So they've been using him as an edge rusher. So maybe he morphs into like the Jalen Walker type piece.
There is no star in the front seven.
Yet.
And that is why I think, Mike, you don't have to focus on one or two or three guys. Think about the defenses that have been really great over the last few years. You had three or four guys. You were like, he can kill you. I don't see that yet. They're playing okay as a group. Too many explosive plays given up. I think this game's going to be very interesting.
You talked about the portal. Again, we'll talk to Mike Griffith coming up in about an hour or so. They went and got Elo Madozzi in the portal, but he, as Greg McElroy pointed out, didn't really show up.
No.
Not yet.
Hey, man, we got to dive in and let you hear what Trae Young said in response to Pat Beverly calling him out, trying to compare careers. Really? I mean, what is going on here?
I didn't realize he was Dennis Rodman, and he has five rings.
He makes it sound like it.
I tell my kids, don't expect to see Daddy during June.
You'll hear it coming up. It's Dukes and Bell.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Guy Talks on the way. Find out what Mike's got working. I'll tell you what we're working. Pat Bev is working my nerves. Pat Beverly is a guy that has played in the NBA for a long time. I mean, you know, decade or so. But Pat Beverly is also a guy that wants to, and I think he already is. I don't know if he's with ESPN yet or whatever, but I know he wants to be in the media. And so, very opinionated, has already taken shots at certain guys. By the way, Kevin Durant came to our guy Trae Young's defense and calling Pat Bev a clown, saying all this stuff is completely out of pocket.
Right. Like who is it from Memphis? Was that he's on Houston? Dylan Brooks.
Dylan Brooks.
But, you know, at least Dylan Brooks has some offense. This guy's like a one-note piano. He was a good defender in the sense that I think he was all-defensive team in 17. But the way he presents himself, you'd think he was Dennis Rodman.
Yeah, and I'm just looking at this quote from Durant saying...
What's he saying?
Well, he was saying it's a delusional argument, talking about Pat Beverly and how he tried to present this. And look, you talk about a guy that people have taken shots at. I think Beverly's taken shots at certainly Durant, and a lot of people have. But at the end of the day, I want you to hear this, because this is what we're talking about. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And the reason why it's important is because our star has taken a lot of criticism. But for the first time, and oh, Day-Day, I don't know, guys. I've never seen him respond like this. Have you guys seen him respond? I've never seen Trae respond like this.
Other than when he called me a hoe.
Well, that's true. But for him to hear the criticism of somebody going at him and then saying, I'm going to sit down for 11 minutes and tell you how I feel, he did it in such a way that, hey, I'm just going to present facts here. He wasn't yelling and screaming, unlike Pat Bev, who was responding to a tweet.
Explain how this all got started.
So, well, a tweet went out talking about why guys in the NBA play hard in the summer. You see them in the gym and they're hooping out. And then in the NBA All-Star game, nobody wants to play hard. And Trae was like, his response simply was, relax, let us speak for ourselves. Pat Bev took that as a shot at him, who hasn't been an All-Star, and a guy who hasn't had as an accomplished career, as Trae saying, bro, you don't have any room to speak here. Now, you could interpret that many ways, but that led to this.
Hoop Herald goes, honest question, why do NBA players play so hard in random open gyms in the summer but give no effort in an All-Star game with millions watching? My response is because All-Stars take the game for granted. It's not one All-Star on a basketball court. It's just good naturally, good bump. Trae Young's response was...
He said, relax, let us speak for ourselves. Interesting.
I don't know. I don't think he's in a position to speak. I don't think he's one enough to even speak to me like that or tweet me like that. He's been to the playoffs 3 times. I've been to the playoffs 9.
9 is more than 3.
He's been in the NBA 7 years. My first 7 years, I didn't miss the playoffs at all.
Interesting.
In the Western Conference.
Interesting.
Right. His rebuttal is probably going to be, yeah, you want the main player on the team. You're absolutely right. But this is why it's a team. I've talked to people who played in Atlanta. They don't want to play there.
Why?
They don't think he's a good leader. They don't think he's a good teammate. This is not coming from me. This is coming from Joe Blow over here. Trey, you can score all the points you want. You can make all the money you want. You can have all the leading assists you want. You can do all that. If you don't win, that don't matter. If you don't win, when you're retired, they're going to forget your name. Fast, too. So I don't even think he has the wiggle room to talk about you not playing for an all-star game. You're not like you're playing in the playoffs.
So what do you think his point is?
I don't know.
He's just trying to put himself above you?
I think so. Like, let us speak. Like, what do you mean? Okay, well, let them play in the playoffs more than 9 years. Speak to them before you speak.
Easy, man.
They would tell me, Pat, man, that shit ain't the Atlanta Hawks. That shit called the Trey Hawks.
Interesting.
And then the first word he used is relax. And I'm like, relax? You should be uncomfortable. You should be more uncomfortable. Why? That's the problem. You're too relaxed. 7 years, you made the playoffs 3 times. You're too relaxed. Get uncomfortable. Really get uncomfortable and lead your team to some more wins and playoff pushes. The game is better. The game needs that from you. It's kids up here that look up to you. You talking about me, relax.
Hey.
You get uncomfortable. I challenge you to do that. Don't put yourself up here, right, because you score a lot of points and a lot of assists, but you lose.
Well, it seems like he's just trying to take it as a chance to take a shot that you haven't been in an all-star game.
Obviously, but I've been on teams who won 50 games. I don't know what missing the playoff feels like. Okay. I have to tell my family, daddy be home in June. I don't know what April and early May in Atlanta feels like. I don't. Knee deep in the trenches.
Daddy won't be home in June.
9 is more than 3.
Delusional. And who is this dude?
Hey, who's this little sidekick?
I mean, this guy's co-signing everything.
Yeah, 9 is more than 3.
He seems like he's taking a shot at you. And he's just, you talk about amping him up. He's gassing this dude up.
Yeah, it's like the typical dweeb podcaster cohort. That's right. Yes. Whatever you say, Patrick. Yeah, man. The guy's got a longer career. Trey, and we'll get Trey's rebuttal.
Trey's not even 20. Dude, he's not even 20. He's 28.
Right.
Or what? I think he turns 28 this year. Like, we forget how young he came into the league. Yes, he's got a longer career. And if you're saying, Dukes, you're going to defend Trey, hell yeah, I'm going
to
defend Trey.
Trey has, and the thing about this, and if I got a chance to talk to Beverly, and I reached out at Twitter at him to say, well, how full of crap he is about June. The one June he played basketball in, Carl, the season started in December.
Nice math.
Yeah. You know, so I did the math. Yeah, I play in June. You played in one NBA. You played with conference final.
Yeah, daddy be home in June.
Yeah, whatever.
Conference final, you lost to Phoenix, and the only reason that was, again, because the season was pushed back 3 months.
You know, the one big moment he has is when they won the playoff game, the play-in playoff
and
game.
And he stood on the table.
So the table, his jersey got spun like he was Petey Pablo.
And guess what? He wasn't there next year.
He wasn't.
Anything is possible.
They moved on from him. He was such a big-time player, they moved on from him the next season.
But he's taking shots at Trey. Now, what Patrick Beverly maybe or may doesn't not know, who's the best player Trey's ever played with? John Collins? We said this earlier. When you look at Kristaps Porzingis at this stage of his career, banged up, is probably the best player that's been on the floor in a Hawks uniform.
Yeah.
Now, Jalen Johnson, we believe in. He's got to stay healthy. But Trey's never had anything. This guy's on the coattails of all those great Rockets teams.
Mike, he's played with at least, and this is no lie, and Trey laid this out in his comments, at least 8 future Hall of Famers. This dude's played with Giannis.
Right.
Right? You just start looking at the players he's played with, the team you've been talking about. Oh, my goodness. I agree. Like, the list goes on and on. So Pat Bev is trying to come at our star and say, the stats and all this doesn't matter. By the way, there are NBA greats that we still talk about to this day that didn't win championships. I'm not saying Trey won't, but that's ridiculous, man. Your impact on the game and how you play matters. Ask John Stockton and Karl Malone.
And George Gervin.
Charles Barkley. We can go on and on. Nothing. Being a pest. Trying to hurt people.
Yeah, submarine artist, right.
All right, let's hear from our Trey Young. And again, this is we're cutting this down, condensing this, guys. If you want to go check out the videos, they're out there. I said I retweeted it earlier today, but I'm glad Trey stepped up and said something. What about Pat Beverly being uncomfortable? Beverly said, you're not uncomfortable. You find yourself uncomfortable. This is Trey's response.
Just me and you. What you did versus me, what I did versus you. Granted, when I came into the league, you were going into year 7. This is different timetables. I get it. You were a little bit later into your career. I was 19, about to be 20, going into my rookie season. Do you want to know your age going into your rookie season? You were 24 your first year in the NBA. So you're talking about uncomfortable. Man, you don't know what uncomfortable is.
He's right. And I'm watching a highlight that the Hawks have put out of Trae Young abusing Patrick Beverley, who was supposed to be a defensive specialist. He had one all defensive team on his resume.
Right.
I mean, guys, he's not Jordan. He's not all NBA right. 9, 10, he's not, 15
he's not,
times.
He's not even Rasheed Wallace.
So it's like, dude, what are you talking about? Here is Trae Young also challenging Beverly. I love this. When Beverly was like, yeah, I talked to people in Atlanta. Who? Who?
State
Who?
Your source. You in the media field now. I don't look at you as a player. State your source. Which teammate of mine told me that it's the Trae Hawks. It ain't the Atlanta Hawks. Because I would tell you myself, I have a lot of teammates I keep in touch with. A lot. A lot that I know you know. So I want you to state your source. Because I know some guys that were my teammates that are in the media field. You can be the guy that changes this whole game. Just state your source.
Oh,
it's part of it.
Snap.
I challenge you.
State your source, fool! Yeah.
You can be the first person to actually not hide behind a nameless, anonymous
it's
person.
It's so true.
Right. And it happens all the time. And now again, media puts that stuff out there. But he's,
Mike,
he's rolling as if he's dialed in here in Atlanta.
He's not.
So,
Mike, well, here's the deal. If you got those, if you've got these balls,
right.
Have the balls to say, look, I talked to such and such. Here's what he told me.
Right.
But see, you don't want to say that because now you're putting other people in this conversation that may or may not have actually said those things. All right, one other thing from Trae Young. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 Again. Mike's got some guy talk coming up. This is something we started today with because when this came out last night and they sent it to me, I was like, whoa, Trae going to respond to this? And then he did. Here is Trae talking about what have you won?
You talk about a winner. What have you won? Tell me, what have you won? And don't respond with that, like, sympathy. I won in life. I won in basketball because you did, man. You made it to the NBA. There's very few many people that can say that. But at the same time, bro, it's levels to this.
Now, we did the numbers. Trae Young will make a much money this year and next year that will be more than $10 million in Beverly made his entire career.
Crazy.
In just two seasons.
Yeah, but
and this is before we get to his max option or whatever's going to be.
Because he's a better player.
Yeah, because look, Trae is a scorer. Now, we can talk about how poorly this team was built. Trae is not the general manager. Trae's not the head coach. Trae cannot decide on, hey, man, got on my back. I took the bow at the Garden. We beat the Sixers, Joel Embiid. That team was penciled into the finals.
They were.
And then you guys did what to build around me? Nothing. You basically disassembled the team. You wouldn't even keep a guy off the bench to shoot like Red Velvet around because it costs too much.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, it's not on Trae.
You guys can hit us up, 404-726-0929. And again, Trae goes on for 11 minutes. But here's the deal.
And he also checks himself. He only drops a few ups and he's like, Beverly, blank this, blank that, blank, 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 blank.
He was all gassed up.
Right.
Dude's like, sounds like he's trying to take a shot at you. I mean, he
9 is
up.
More than 3.
Yeah, I mean, what do you expect?
9 is more than 3.
But
obligatory podcast D-bag.
But I got to say this, Mike. One last thing. Trae's tone is perfect. He's just saying, look, man. That's like me and you sitting here talking. Like, look,
right.
Let me tell you how
what
good
have
I
you
am.
Won?
Why are you raising your voice? Why are you raising your voice?
What have you won?
That's perfect.
It's like, remember Big Lebowski? I'm cooler than you. Calmer than you, dude. Calmer
state
than you.
State your source.
State your source. He's just asking him.
I'm not upset. Calmer
just state
than you.
Your source.
Or you know what I'm talking about with Walter. Calmer than you, dude.
Oh, my goodness. All right. That is something that's happening. Big shout out to T.Y., man. And here's the deal. If you don't defend it, who is? You just gonna let that just sit
too
out there?
Relaxed. 7 years, you made the playoffs 3 times. You're too relaxed.
Okay.
Get uncomfortable.
Okay.
Really get uncomfortable and lead your team.
I got to say this one. It's just more and more every time you play something. Oh, when you come into the league at 19, it is one of the most difficult things to do when everybody expects you to be the man. Immediately, you're supposed to win 50 games, Pat Bev. You haven't felt that. That's uncomfortable. When you come into the league as Trae Young did, and Mike, how happy was our city? We got a guy. Let's do this.
Right.
That is being uncomfortable because there's so much pressure on you. Pat Bev ain't had no damn pressure on him.
Right, and Trae's evolved. We called him out for being immature and show some more leadership. You know, when Coach when Woody got, you know, I mean, talk about it, all the different things that happened over the years.
What have you won?
You got to save that, though. You got to save it.
Again, we've gone round and round about what Trey, it's not his fault. DeJounte Murray coming here is the dumbest thing the Hawks have ever done.
Set us back.
Trey did the best he could. Now, could it have worked better if Trey had committed to it? But it was still a stupid idea.
Yeah, I agree.
Two ball dominant guards don't coexist. But that's not him, right? That's not on him. Now he's going to. Now here's the thing. This is a year where there are expectations. We should be a 4 seed. Because it's the best team he's had on the floor with him.
I got to tell you, he's dropping dimes, and I'm talking about 20 assists or more. He did it 4 times last year on a way less talented team. What about if he had guys that could really shoot and score?
Right, right.
I'm just like, it's really amazing. The numbers are mind-boggling for what the kid has done in 7 years. All right, man, we got to move on, Mike. What do we have coming up in Guy Talk?
All right, man. You guys can jump on this right now because we will discuss. But the question is, to blackout or not to blackout for Georgia when Alabama comes a-calling? It's going to be a monster game in Athens. We're going to do the history of the what I thought was very gimmicky jersey things that Mark Rick would pull. 404-726-0929. You like the idea of a blackout? I'll tell you why we shouldn't. Also, a MLB legend is stepping away. And New Orleans screws it up again. We'll explain.
Cameron, you are...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
State your source.
Who, Beverly? It is Dukes and Bell, man. Falcon Report coming up in just about 15 minutes. Why was Kyle Pitts not practicing like he should have been? I don't know. Was he okay? Wasn't he? Saw some video of him out there. A little confused about his status.
Limited. We will dive into who else was not on the field today. It is Thursday as we get ready for Carolina. But, yeah, Mike, right. That is coming up.
Limited is the status of the computers in the studio right now. I posted a photo. I was joking around. Normally we're Dukes and Bell, and we always are Dukes and Bell. So Carl would be on your left if you're looking in the studio. You come in the studio, there's Carl to your left, and I'm on the right. Today it's Bell and Dukes. Very disorienting. My workstation for 11 years is not functioning. So I slide over. I took a selfie, and a couple of guys noticed in the background our used office furniture.
Oh, yeah, the chairs.
Guy goes, man, those chairs are pretty ragged. I said, no. That's state-of-the-art office furniture. That's venting. That is
vintage, sir. That's what you're going to call it. Vintage.
That's inline venting, Oren, that keeps the seats cool and refreshing for your tookus.
That was in the background?
Yeah. So it does look kind of hoopty, but that's just, you know, when we have, like, you know, big boy comes in.
Or,
you know, stars, like, you know, actors and TV stars, you know, they have to sit on this crappy furniture.
That's usually the case.
So, you know what you need? Maybe get some Gorilla Tape and get in here.
That even looks worse. Have you ever tried that? I see people with their cars, and I get it. Like, it's expensive to get your car fixed. But I'm like, dude, you got Gorilla Tape on your car? You're trying to hold that bumper on?
Right. So we're working on that. We're efforting.
But I get it.
Right.
I get it.
Hey, man, how do you feel about Georgia going with a blackout? Now, the fans can dress in black T-shirts, black shirts and jerseys, pullovers, whatever. But what about putting the team in those dreaded black jerseys? I say dreaded.
I really think I'm going to answer that.
Because for those dog fans of a certain age, you remember the 2007 blackout against Auburn. They crushed him. It was amazing. They were playing Soulja Boy, Superman. And you even had Vern, like, trying to attempt to do the Superman up in the booth.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for whoever was working the audio that day, they played the unedited version of Soulja Boy, which had many folks, the fans, going, damn.
They did not know.
Great night. They beat Auburn. It was fun. Year later, they do a blackout against Alabama. They're down 31-0 at halftime.
Yeah, it was ugly.
Nick Saban was not having it against Mark Rick.
It was ugly. All right.
So where do you feel for Georgia? Now, real quick, sidebar on this. Georgia Tech's got some cool new jerseys they're breaking out, steel, black. But Georgia, and this is not a knock on Georgia Tech, but since I've been here in 98, and there was an article in the AJC about this a couple months back, they've had like a dozen different uniforms in like the last 20 years. And going back to 93, it's probably like 15 or 16.
Yeah.
Paul Johnson changed it. They had the honeycomb helmets. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but Georgia Tech, kind of like Oregon, doesn't even have a distinct uniform anymore.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
No. Look, they change it up. I've always said the kids dig it. You know, the young men like to see the new digs. And
it's not a knock on Tech. I'm just saying.
No. But, and that's the nature of college football, right? The cool programs have different looks. Now, Ohio State, traditional. Texas, correct. They're not going away from tradition, right? This is what we are. This is what we wear. That's what you're saying about Georgia. My only beef, and I said this to you guys this morning when we were talking about this, what about the fans? What about us? Can we be entertained a little bit? Can we go black, all black, have some fun? Right.
You like, really think I'm
come on, Kirby.
Now, my thing, and this is why where I fall on this, so you don't think, like, by the way, I am not a boomer. And you can yell at me, boomer, very easy on Twitter. I am Gen X. But anyway, my feeling is that it was a gimmick when Mark Richt attempted it. And I just felt teams that Carl just mentioned, if you're Ohio State, if you're Texas, you don't really need to do that. Notre Dame can break out the green jerseys once every 20 years like they did in the Cotton Bowl for Joe Montana.
Sure.
But if you're Georgia, you know, it's I think of Muncie, you know, red helmet, red jersey, silver britches from right to left on your right. That's the way Georgia should be. I don't like it, but I get it. Now, if the fans want to all dress in black, that's their prerogative.
Yeah, yeah.
But I just don't think a Kirby smart team needs to pull that kind of stuff because they're better than that.
So last week when Tech had the whiteout,
which is cool,
it was unbelievable to see. And again, they won, right?
Right.
So you had the fans storm the field, the kids storm the field. And like I said, when they pulled out, right, and they had that drone footage,
right,
and they're showing you from above and it's nothing but white, and you're like, that's kind of cool.
With the rambling wreck in the foreground, it's great.
It was great. But again, you win. That's the moment that, you know, that needed to happen. But I'll say this. I personally do not have a problem with it. But with the history that you're talking about and describing why Georgia fans would be against it,
right,
and the fear of last time. Because right, that's what you're talking about.
Well, I mean,
you're saying the last time we did this, this did not end well.
Yes.
I don't even want to revisit that.
I remember I want to say I was at the taco stand by halftime at that game. It was 31-0.
Been there.
You know, we've all been there and
been
done
there.
That. Yes, for guys who don't know, I am a Florida State fan, but when they suck, I generally mooch off Georgia. And for those years, yes, me and Johnny went to a lot of Georgia games. But anyway, this is one I just think Georgia's uniform is so clean, and the silver britches with the red, white, and black stripe, I don't, and the red jersey, I think that's iconic.
Yeah.
To your point about Ohio State, you don't mess with it.
No,
that's just me.
No.
And then again, that crap that Nike rolled out in 2013 against Boise State, the silver helmet with a big wide red stripe.
It was ugly.
I still thinking about that.
Yeah. Listen. That every now and then these apparel companies try to change the flow of the look of teams, and that's all about merch sales, right? That's what that is. You're trying
that's
to
it.
Capitalize on the merch sales. Be traditional. I don't have an issue with it. If y'all told me, hey, we're going all black next week Saturday at Sanford Stadium, I'm all for it. But I get why there's a hesitation, because
right,
every time somebody says, can't do that! Last time that happened, man, we got blown out.
Right. And so, again, I was arguing with a guy. We can have dialogue. Can't dialogue about Jimmy Kimmel. I gave up on that today on Twitter. But as far as everything else sports-wise, I was saying, he said, that's 17 years ago. I'm just saying, you're Georgia, you don't have to do that. And again, with Tech, they've got so many different combinations. It's not like there's one that's going to, you know, one or the other. They've got lots of variety over the years. All right, the Dodgers announced today that Clayton Kershaw's start on Friday will be his last regular start. It is official. However far the Dodgers go this year, he is stepping away.
Unbelievable career. One of the all-time greats.
First ballot Hall of Famer.
First ballot, hands down. 11-time All-Star. You know, this is a guy. Here's what's funny. We talk about these milestones in professional sports, and for baseball, it was always 300 wins for pitchers.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking about 222 victories. It's not about him, Mike. I don't know if we're going to see another 300 winner. I don't know if we're going to see another 300-game winner. First of all, pitchers don't pitch like that. But secondly, the longevity to do it and be that good for as long as you need to. So as good as Kershaw was, he's leaving the game potentially with, what, 223 victories? That's a hell of a career, but it's not 300. And we used to look at that number for pitchers like, oh, 500 home runs, 300 wins for a pitcher.
Right.
I don't know who the next guy is when you start looking at the guys who are in line and how much longer they have to pitch, but this guy was incredible.
Unbelievable stuff. So congrats. That's a guy that, as much as we hate the Dodgers, I think even Braves fans could tip their hat to, kind of tip your cap to Clayton Kershaw. Hey, man, guess what's going to happen in New Orleans?
What's that?
Well, it won't be the Super Bowl in 2031 because the Saints don't have a lease with their stadium.
It's over.
This dropped. New Orleans hosted Super Bowl, 59? I've lost track. In February.
What is it called now, by the way, Mike?
Is it Smoothieville? What the hell?
It's just a Superdome?
It's not Smoothie King. That's the basketball, right?
Because we're the only ones that have the Mercedes-Benz.
Correct. They lost that tag. Super Bowl committee did meet yesterday.
Us.
The city of New Orleans cannot advance as an option to bid on future Super Bowls due to the fact that their lease extension has not been signed, according to Greg Bensel, a Saints spokesman who spoke with the Times Picayune online. NFL spokesman says that New Orleans ain't eligible to host the game because NFL teams who aren't don't have a lease for the year that the Super Bowl is going to be there don't get one.
It's a shame.
Yes, I feel bad for it. Now, look. Had we won the damn NFC Championship and Harry Douglas hadn't tripped on the 20 and Matt hadn't thrown that pick and we actually made a stop.
You blaming Harry?
That's a lot of blame to go around that second half. But 2012, we could have maybe beaten those Ravens. Yeah. But that was a game where the power went out.
It was.
But that would have been Falcon fans celebrating on Bourbon Street. Would have been amazing.
It would have been.
Unfortunately, not to be. But, 2031 is the next time they'd be in the rotation. The league has yet to pick locations beyond 28. Vegas apparently running for 29 is in San Fran this year at Levi's Stadium.
Yeah. And here's the deal.
But they don't have a deal in place right now with the Superdome. I presume that'll get, I don't know, Benson's. Now, the old owner that everybody was saying, oh, what a Saint. He was ready to take that team after Katrina to San Antonio.
Yeah, he was trying to leave. Saints fans.
Tom Benson. Yeah.
Tom Benson. Saints fans, are you guys ever going to get a new stadium, though? Are they ever going to get a new stadium?
I guess they just like that musty smell.
I mean, the Superdome, don't get me wrong, it's great, but hasn't it run its course?
Wait, what do you mean it's great? To take two different escalators to get to where you're sitting?
That's my point! It's great. No, it's great from the noise standpoint.
To walk up those stairs where it's like a cattle call?
Where when that place gets rocking because of the way it was built, it's still one of the loudest places.
When they play Yin Yang Twins, you got to tip your cap to them.
It's all what it is. Nice Atlanta group. But listen, I still feel
it is Caesar Superdome.
Great. They need a new building, and I'm like, are they ever going to get a new building? Here's the dilemma, Mike. They're in the mix because it's New Orleans. But guess what? Nashville's getting a new stadium. They're about to be in the mix.
And boy, are they going to take a bunch of Super Bowls away from people.
And the Commanders are going to get a new stadium.
Right.
And they're going to be in the mix. And I've already said this. Like, you see the NFL, how much they love the West Coast with L.A. and SoFi. It's going back to San Francisco this year. Mike talked about it. Jerry World's always going to be in the mix. We're going to be in the mix. Somebody's getting left out here. And what's going to happen is that stadium is going to get outdated.
Yes. Well, it already is.
Of course.
I know they put the money into it after Katrina.
It's not the same.
Enjoy our time. Look, the thing about a place like New Orleans, when you think of like Nashville, centrally located, easy to get to. I mean, you'll have to walk over the bridge to get to the stadium.
But it's
easy.
It's perfect.
And all the stuff on Broadway, it's just like, New Orleans, it's a perfect spot. All right, man, one other story for you. I got time for one more. Oh, real quick. Going to a wedding. Right. If a couple is listed somewhere, if it's a young couple, you can help set them up with a house, get them stuff for the kitchen, get them furniture, whatever you want to do. But what do you make of a couple setting up a tap and pay machine at a wedding reception?
Just give them money.
Just literally $200.
It's not
a bad idea, right?
I'm actually for it.
The reason I bring this up, a couple in Britain had a tap and pay wedding reception. This article is from the Daily Mail. It was reposted in the New York Post. Young couple in their early 30s, they got married in Buckinghamshire before heading off on a romantic getaway to the Caribbean. They needed a travel cash. So it's actually not a bad idea. I know when Becky and I got married, we didn't want anything because we had stuff. We're in our 40s. I was in my 40s when I got married. So I just wanted people to show up on a destination wedding. But for people to do this, I don't think it's tacky. I think it's a pretty cool idea.
No, I don't.
Cash
either.
On demand, man. Go have some fun.
I don't think it's.
What do you guys think behind the glass? You like the idea? Big O gives a thumbs up on that.
Yeah. The one thing, especially if you're starting and you are younger, you do need or you would prefer, I think most couples would prefer cash. To your point, when we got married, I mean, Michelle's dad was like, here. And he hands me an envelope. And I'm like, what is this? Go have a good time at your honeymoon. And I was like, because I didn't expect it. It was the best thing because I was like, oh, we're going to have to pay for this and pay for that. Even though we got plenty of people contributing, this is up front and in your face. Hey, here's where it's at. You don't have to get us anything. Just give us a little loot. We'll be fine. I love the idea. We'll probably see more of it.
Not a bad idea. So there you go. For you youngsters out there, if you're going to plan a wedding, just go get the machine. And you're good to go. I like it. Hey, man, that's Guy Talk. Falcons next, Carl.
Yeah, man, and we got injuries to update. Who was limited today at practice? And whether you like this or not, we're starting to get recognized. Stay right there. We'll give it to you and explain all of that coming up in the 5 o'clock hour here on Dukes and Bell.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.